Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
It is a bit good. It's a bit I like. It's when all the singing, the drony singing comes in. I like this vibe. Hello? It reminds me of the... who's the Russian? The Russian band with the big quiffs. And they've made a film. And who's the Russian band with the big quiffs? You know the Russian band with the big quiffs. No, don't Google it, because your brain's going to turn into fudge. They're in a film called the Go to America. The ballad, not the Balalaika boys. Yeah, you know the ones. They do Happy Together with the Russian army choir. I see them, they've got big quiffs. Very funny film. It'll come. 03444991000. We have a guest. Tell us about who we have here and what we were just talking about.
Well, you know, you were talking about antinatalism.
Yeah.
It was a philosophy. Actually, it's becoming a lawsuit in one particular case.
Yeah.
And we've got Amanda Sukunik.
Well, let's go to Amanda, who's, I think, is in... Are you in Chicago, Amanda?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hey,
thank you so much for having me.
Hey, very well, thank you. Thank you for coming on. I know Catherine reached out to you about 15, 20, 30 minutes
and
ago.
And amazingly, you were obviously on Twitter.
I was, yes. I run the Twitter page, Antinatal News, and I somewhat daily sort of present the daily news of antinatalism.
Get off Twitter, go out and breathe in the natural air and read a book. Get off Twitter, Amanda.
No, but I'm glad she wasn't in this case because we needed her.
Amanda, listen, there was a thing in the papers a couple of days ago. This gentleman who I think you know, Raphael Samuel.
I do.
Antinatalist. I'd never heard of the movement. And I'm reading, it's kind of like a slightly tongue-in-cheek piece, but I'm reading it.
Yeah.
And it says here, I love my parents. This is a quote from him. I love my parents and we have a great relationship, but they had me for their joy and their own pleasure. It says here, I don't know how true this is, he's suing his parents for having it. And I'm reading this thinking, I can't really argue with anything that he's saying. I've got two kids and me and my wife my ex-wife had those kids because we wanted those kids. We had them because...
Right.
We wanted them. It was a very selfish act. So give us a bit of the background, Amanda. What is antinatalism and how did you get involved, first of all?
Sure, absolutely. So antinatalism is an ethical position that's really been around for centuries, although the word itself, antinatalism or antinatalist, is very recent.
Right.
At least insofar as it's been applied to a philosophical position. And that was, around 2006 or so, initiated by the philosopher David Benatar or also the Belgian writer Théophile de Guéraud. It's essentially an ethical position that states that it is unethical to procreate because suffering is inevitable and there's no reason really to bring new life forms onto the planet. And this can extend not simply to human life, but also to animal life, all of nature, anything that is sentient and can feel pain.
Wow.
That they're essentially nothing. There's no reason really to keep the same narratives going that we've, you know, we sort of know how life plays out. We know what happens. We know
it's not great, and it's painful, and
it's not a great story.
There's some little bits of joy, but there's a lot of tears, a lot of pain.
Absolutely.
You lose people, and then you die. I mean, it's not a great story, is it?
It's not. No, it isn't. It isn't. And there are lovely things along the way. There's many, many things in life that I adore and spend, you know, much of my time, you know, mulling over and enjoying and obsessing. But the reality of the price of that.
Yeah.
Has always just, you know, seemed to me to be quite a bit too high. So I came into all of this in 2010, 2011, because I discovered the videos of the YouTube-based philosopher in Mendham. And then from there, you know, I just became more sort of enmeshed in the antinatalist community on the internet.
Well, you say the community. How big is the community? And is there...
Right.
Is there kind of one antinatalist group, or are there lots of little, splinter groups that have slightly different takes on it? What does it look like?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's a bit hard to paint a picture of at times too, and it's developed so much in the last 10 years. You know, I would say before 2010, 2011, 2006, to be fair. I mean, there have certainly been groups like the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. There's the Child Free Movement. Now, they weren't necessarily applying the word antinatalism to their philosophies and their movements. And they believe very different things. Like, for instance, Vehement, the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, believes that humans should go extinct, but that the animals should be free to roam the earth and, you know, propagate for all time. The Child Free Movement really isn't a philosophical movement. It's more about, you know, sort of investing in your own life. There's a lot of good stuff to it, but it's not a philosophical movement. And then some antinatalists believe it is only human beings that should cease to procreate and go extinct. And then sort of the more ethelistic, ethelism perspective is that all life should go extinct.
Because humans could, you know, make the decision not to have kids, but animals procreate. It would get very tricky, wouldn't it? You'd have to go around neutering all the animals.
I've heard this thing about rabbits. They can have embryos, but if the situation becomes dangerous, they kind of absorb them in the womb.
Oh.
So it isn't...
Oh, wow. I don't know about that.
Here we go.
Hey, I may have dreamt it. Let me double check it. But I'm pretty sure it happened.
That's a crazy, crazy dream. So you can't... You started in 2010 just going online and finding a few forums and...
There's been a sort of a massive when antinatalism sort of came to YouTube, there was this massive explosion of interest with people, you know, making response videos back and forth for years, and then it kind of blew up on places like Reddit and Twitter. And then, you know, there's all just sort of very interesting things happening more recently. Like there's I don't actually know exactly where it's based, but a predominantly Arabic-speaking Facebook page has over 40,000 members.
Wow.
And now there's all this incredible stuff happening in India, which is really just, you know, nobody really saw coming. The last 2 days of everything to do with Mr. Raphael Samuel has been just a huge revelation, I think, to everybody.
We have it really easy over here in the West, right? Okay, we got money, we got food, and most of us have money, and most of us have food, and most of us have housing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if anyone who's been to India, as I have, and Pakistan in particular, but India as well, there is you know, a lot of poverty, a lot of people with nothing, you know. Is the movement bigger in India because of the poverty, do you think?
Or growing in India? I imagine that it may have something to do with it. I mean, I would suspect I have just as many questions at this point as to exactly the mechanics of what's creating the movement there and in other places as well. The explosion in India specifically of antinatalism, you know, there's a massive sort of meetup happening in India on the 10th called the Stop Making Babies meetup, which is, you know, and that's very recent that any of that has been going on. So it's very much a thing that's developing, and I'm excited to sort of see where it goes.
Isn't there a danger that if all the right-thinking, careful, thoughtful people stop making babies,
oh God,
we get overrun with the opposite?
Idiocracy.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I think that that is a frightening idea that could happen. Although, I mean, you know, philosophy is not genetic. You know what I mean? It's, and especially in an information age and the internet and stuff, you know, people from all parts of life, all kinds of backgrounds are being able to, you know, inform themselves about what life really is and what happens and what really are the consequences of procreation and the way that people really do end up feeling about their lives. And so,
and yet there, Trump won.
Yeah. Oh, well, yes, of course. Oh, no.
So do you know, this Raphael Samuel, the guy that got us talking about this, do you know him then? Have you spoken to him?
I only really have known him in passing before the last couple of days. I mean, I certainly recognized his name right away. I know that he's commented on things that I've done, and but no, I've over, you know, just the last couple of days is the only time I really remember speaking to him.
I'm guessing this is going to be a court case that if it happens, who knows if it's actually going to go through with it or not.
He is serious about it.
Is he doing it? He can't win. So the very fact that me and Catherine are talking about it on the show is because of him saying he's going to sue his parents. The very fact that we've got you at such short notice, which is brilliant, and I'm loving this, Amanda, so thank you, because of...
My pleasure.
No, thank you. And we'll get you back on again at some point. But it's because he's talking about suing his parents. So whether it happens or not is almost irrelevant because it's suddenly we know the word antinatalism.
Yeah, he's, you know, there's this, and I not to speak for myself, but I mean, there's sort of a project amongst antinatalists of how do you get people to listen to this idea? Because it's a very hard idea, as you can imagine, to get people to listen to often. It's, you know, people get very aggressive. People tell us to kill ourselves. People, you know, become very, very, very aggressive.
Why are they telling you?
And so,
it's an extension of if you don't like it, you know what you can do, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Yeah, exactly. They take it, you know, when you tell people that they shouldn't procreate, a lot of people take that as saying, you know, it's connected with their own sense of mortality. It's like, well, I can't have the homunculus in the future that's going to represent what I have been and what my life is. So they take it as almost like a threat sometimes.
It's the same kind of aggression, the same root of the aggression that vegans get, isn't it? Because actually, we kind of know that we can't argue with the morality of it.
Yes, and antinatalism is more often than not very heavily connected with veganism, actually.
Right.
So it's very much cut from the same cloth.
Well, here's the thing, Amanda. I've had this story open on my computer for a couple of days without reading it. And we do this radio show, and we kind of sit and we go through the papers, and then I just remembered, I've got this story that I opened a couple of days ago, and we read it on air as it was. And I was thinking, we'll have a jolly old laugh at this. But then going through the brief points they put in this, it's quite light and frothy. But the brief arguments that they take from this gentleman, I'm thinking, well, I can't argue with that. Yeah, no, having kids is selfish. Yes, life is there's a lot of misery. I worry. My boys are 7 and 9. But I know that they're going to get diseases, that they might break their bones, that they're going to have their hearts broken, that they're going to lose jobs, that they're going to... All of this, and then of course there'll be joy, there'll be love, and there'll be happiness, and there'll be success and things. But I'm giving them a lot of misery in the next 50, 60, 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not great.
It's heartbreaking. I know, and you know, I want to say, you know, it's a lot of people that identify as antinatalists have had children.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Really?
Because we live in societies where natalism is God, basically. I mean, that's what your life is supposed to amount to. It's what you have to do. It's what we're trained to do. It's what we're biologically supposed to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, the societal pressures are huge. And so many people find themselves in a position where they've had children and then we essentially, unfortunately, have to tell them the bad news with antinatalism. But it's rough.
Are your parents still with us, Amanda? And if so, what conversations do you have with them?
Oh, well, my father is long past, but my mother is alive, and she's very, very supportive. You know, I've been actively creating antinatalist artwork. I'm a sculptor and a filmmaker. For almost 10 years now. So I, you know, she was at my my movie screening for my antinatalist film. So she's very supportive about it.
What's the film? What's the film called? Where can we see it?
Oh, the film is called The Ethelist, and it's available on YouTube.
Brilliant.
And yeah, my YouTube channel is Forever Wolf Films.
Forever Wolf Films. And
yes.
if people, because honestly, I find this fascinating, and we will get you back again, and maybe we'll be a little bit more prepared, you know, to have a chat.
Sure,
but this is great. If people want to find out more about antinatalism, what is the Twitter feed that you are guarding?
Oh, sure. It is Antinatal News, one word. And yeah, I do my best to daily, mine the links and get put up whatever is going on recently. Yeah.
P.S. The rabbit thing, it's true.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, if they don't get enough protein in their diet, they absorb the embryos and all. They'll just give birth to a mass.
Oh no, please.
That's, goodness.
That's a horrible
thing. Yeah, I mean, there are lots of, you know, pandas are basically natural antinatalists. They don't want to have kids. We force them to.
Pandas know that it's just not worth it.
I pity the panda.
Exactly.
Hey, Amanda, it's so nice to talk to you. I really appreciate you. And we will speak again, I'm sure.
Oh, it was my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, and I look forward. Have a great night.
Thank you very much indeed. What a nice,
pleasant person, considering what she's talking about, is probably the bleakest.
I can't argue with it, though.
No.
You can't argue with it. I love my kids, and I'm glad my kids are here, but you can't argue with that.
There is a delightful old couple, or there was a delightful old couple that lived opposite me.
Yeah.
And every day he used to take her to, she was ill for a long, long time, his wife, and they'd met when he was in the war, and he'd walk past her. I think they were in Holland. Holland or Denmark. And he'd walk past her sitting on a bench with her friend, and he said to his pal, hang on a minute, I need to go and talk to this girl. I'm going to marry her.
Aye.
And it was one of those situations.
Yeah.
They were together.
What colour was he?
He was a white guy.
Okay, I'm going to go for a walk for a week.
Anyway, they lived very, you know, the happiest couple I've ever seen, and he was devoted to her, absolutely devoted to her, to the point where I had no idea how old he was because he was just always so active.
Yes.
Anyway, she died last year.
Oh, God.
And I remember thinking as I saw him set out for the, and this is really bleak, I'm sorry about this, but set out for the funeral and his family were all around him, I thought, God, that's what happens if you win.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That's the best. It's the best you can hope for.
I mean, I suppose the extension of that is, yeah, he's got his family around him. But, I mean, God, fancy going through that.
We're all screwed. I've been worried a lot recently about the misery my kids are... I have, actually. The misery my kids are going to go through. And that's nuts. They're 7 and 9. Enjoy the joy at the moment. I can't... I'm thinking ahead to, like, divorce and...
Is that why we make childhood fun?
Sorry?
That's why we make childhood fun.
Because the rest of it sucks.
Yes!
From about 13 onwards, it just ain't worth the hassle. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.